Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Episode 26, the final recap. Thank God. Recap. Give us three. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, it's so good that you got to break out the good stuff, man. You know, we've been doing, you know, the vodka for a while. I had to stop by the store today. We're like, look, we're going to do this. This is the last one. Season 16, finally over 26 weeks later. And technically, it's really been like 27 or 28. But, you know, we did 26 episodes, right? And that I even thought, well, maybe I start a little. Nope. I'm glad I didn't start early.
Yeah, no. I'm still on vodka because, you know, if I drink whiskey, it's going to make me make a Taco Bell run at midnight.
Yeah. Okay, now I got to ask, what's the order for the midnight Taco Bell run?
It varies. A lot of times, normally I just get a craving for like two or three crispy beef tacos with extra cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing too crazy, but I just might crave that. Mm-hmm. But I still mean, or I could like defrost a ribeye at midnight. Right. And make a steak. So that's what whiskey makes me do.
You're not in college anymore. You can't do it.
I know. That's what the dark liquor makes me do. It's like, I gotta eat something.
Yeah. Katie says we sound as dry as the show. Damn.
Thank you. Well, Katie coming in hot with a compliment.
We're not dumb. We're not afraid of these compliments.
Yeah. That's fine. We can take it. We got thick skin.
Terrell, I'm sorry. Laura has some great news for you. I just heard they decided to add three more episodes.
That's awesome. I decided not to watch them.
Oh my God. We pick up here as this episode starts, and it's a weekend getaway 5 months after Decision Day. Right. Apparently, your favorite person on this entire season put this together for everybody. Did that make you really not want to watch the show now because of that?
No, it had nothing to do with that. I think the place that she picked out was nice. You know, the lodge and stuff looked cool. It was really nice.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a really nice setup. And I'm really glad that she brought some extra seasonings. Just to be prepared when Clint shows up to cook.
Yo, that was so funny. Jem's like, well, you know, because Clint is all about the salt and pepper, but I need some Lowry's. Yeah. And the way she said Lowry's, I'm like, yeah, she definitely.
She definitely needs some Lowry's. I'm like, I would want to hang out with Clint all day long, but I'm going to bring him a little can of Tony Satcheries with me, just in case when he's not looking. I'll be like, oh, Clint, what's that over there? Is that Hank?
Yo, it was great, Dom. And, you know, it was interesting watching all the women arrive, minus Dom, first, and then the guys start, you know, coming in one by one. And then we get the dating updates, right?
Yep.
Coming to find out, well, we knew about Clint dating somebody. But now we find out he's got a cute picture in the house of them together. Yeah. They've been dropping the L bomb.
It's getting serial. So, I mean, good for Clint. I think everyone that's watched this season, minus you know, his fumble at the honeymoon, everyone's been a really big Clint fan. And so I'm happy to see that he's happy and he's got someone in his life.
Yeah.
Good for him. You got Gina, apparently. She was a circle the block, someone she's known for 10 years, and they're starting to date. Jasmine's still with her boo, and Dom is still with her boo. That just leaves Eris, Shaq, Kirsten.
Well, going solo. Shaq is still pining over Kirsten, at least on camera. And I say that because, think about this. He comes in, he's like, oh my God. Kirsten, when I see her, I just get butterflies. I feel so good and all this other stuff. Well, the problem, though, with them is that from what she said, he never really pursued her past Decision Day. So it makes sense for all the people who were saying, like, you know, no, he doesn't really want to be with her. On camera, he makes it seem like he does.
Right.
But the thing that she said when they were sitting there, which is, well, you have to let me know what you want. I want to believe that it's real. Now we know why she was saying that. Because when the camera's off, he's not showing any of that stuff that he's saying on camera. It sounds good on camera.
No, you're 100% right. But it goes back to what I said last week. Shaq does not really regret his decision for wanting a divorce, and he doesn't want her. He could easily get her back, as we've seen tonight. If he were to say, you know what, let's do this.
Yeah.
Kirsten would be all in. He doesn't want her, and it is what it is. And it's me, I'm more frustrated about this episode because you keep trying that. They keep trying to press this issue between those two. Mm-hmm. Let them be friends, and let's just move on with their lives. Just like the show. Let us all move on with our lives. You should have said the reunion. That was it. So I'm just annoyed. Every time they keep trying to like put Clint and Kirsten, I mean, Shaq and Kirsten together. Stop.
Exactly. I've been saying that, and it's really the pressure they put on them, I think, is unfair to both of them.
It is.
It really is. Now, you know, I did see something I wanted to just bring back up because apparently, and you brought up the whole thing about the seasoning, right? And apparently, Keedy feels like they should introduce him to Mike Lowry. Bad Boys. And then the Old Bay seasoning. You said the Tony Satcheries. What else could he need in this, though?
To me, all you need is some Tony C's. Like, I don't see what... You know, I don't need Lowry season salt. Just give me some Tony Satcheries. I'm good.
You know, the funny thing is I realize a lot of people are big on Lowry's here, but I grew up on seasonal. Seasonal, season salt. So Lowry's to me was like, that was like the difference between Zaxby's and what's the other one? The spinoff, the other one. But yeah, to me, that was off-brand. Lowry's was off-brand, but apparently there are a lot of people I hear talk about Lowry's now. My wife was like, what seasonal? Apparently my McCormick was the off brand. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, I mean McCormick, especially like their steak seasoning, is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, in a pinch, that's really good. Emeril's steak seasoning. Mm. So it depends on the meat that you're cooking. Like Emeril's brands, you know, for chicken, steak, ribs, whatever, seafood, it's great. I think you just need a little bit more than just salt and pepper on everything.
Oh yes. Look, I put it like this. When I first came to the States, right? And we're in Fort Campbell. And I remember they had the duplexes on base, right?
Yep.
And the neighbor, happened to go out on the back, and the neighbor comes out to grill and opens up the packages, dumps the steaks on the grill. I thought my mom was about to pass out. Like, wait a minute. You're not going to wash that meat off first? You're not going to put some seasoning on it?
You're not going to wash the grill off first? There's bird nests and stuff all in the grill. You're going to clean all that out before you put that meat on there?
Culture shock coming to the States, man, I tell you.
Yeah, it's me like, hey, we're good. We got food at the house.
That's why you don't eat at everybody's house, man. You know, but since all this talk about food, it's a good because there was a lot of talk about food in this episode, right? They had taco night the first night, or talk about it night. Nicole talking about how hard it was to read the comments. And I know that touched you just about as much as it did for me with her, because you could kind of understand where she was coming from.
I can. And actually, I saw on Mavs Fan, she jumped in the comments on Mavs Fan and was going back and forth with some people a while back, right? I think Laura showed me that. I get it, right? And it's funny. There's two sides of it. You signed up for this, and you knew that all the things you did, good, bad, and different, is going to get dragged to the mud. And same for any of us.
Right.
If we were to jump on a reality show, people can jump on and give us shit. Hell, you and I do a podcast. We got 4,000 subscribers. We get hit up in our DMs sometimes with some shit that we did. You know, apparently I wear shirts that look like a medical gown, right? I mean, but you got to have
things you just didn't tell us, like where you came from before we did that episode.
But you got to have thick skin to be able to take it. Now, I did applaud them is that in their bonding moment, they're there for each other because they're all going to be taking hits, right? And again, I appreciate the fact that we don't go after people's physical. Mm-hmm. And I think the things that they're getting in their messages from, you know, from people is about their physical appearance. I think that's crap. But then you got people that hit up Gina and was talking trash about her business page.
Trying to affect her money.
Who does that? Like, I just think, who does that?
Yes.
Like, who has that type of energy to go, ooh, I got to tell you how I feel about you. Uh-huh. You don't even know this person. Mm-hmm. You and I, we just make fun of what you did on the show.
Right.
But we're not trying to, like, I don't want you to lose business.
Well, I mean, the internet trolls are internet trolls, and that's what they do. I mean, and that's, they'll try to dive and find the stuff, you know, and go, internet, do your thing. And that's what they, you know, so it, not surprised that it happened. Toya says, Nicole complained about the comments, but didn't change her behavior. Here's the thing about that too, though. Aren't we always praising in this day and age of standing your ground, standing your truth? This is, you know, be you. This is
live
what
your truth.
Be your true self. But yeah. If that's her true self, why does she have to change her behavior? And a lot of the, it sounded like the comments that really affected her weren't about her behavior. It was more about her appearance. And right. Let's be honest, some of y'all in this live chat have not been the nicest about her appearance sometimes.
Well, and I think that's the shady part, right? I try my best not to make fun of someone's appearance, not counting clothes, because you chose to put that on. But overall appearance, I could see how that could be hurtful, that people don't know you.
What about weave? Does that count?
You're the weaveologist, because I don't even know. I'm thinking it's real hair. And you're the one that's like, no, that's a weave. I'm like, it is? You know, so you've had to educate me on that. You know, but I think for the people that are attacking these folks because it looks like I feel for them, but also, hey, you signed up for this. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. And Kitty says, why does she bring up teeth? I thought the exact same thing.
Because people had stuff to say about hers too.
Really? I didn't see that. I never seen anything about her teeth.
Because she has this huge smile, and people had stuff to say about that in the beginning as well. Let's not forget that. People had things to say about Nicole's smile from the get-go too.
Yeah, I must have missed it. I didn't catch anything about Nicole's smile. It was just more about her being Counselor Nicole. And she embraces this. That's just who she is. I just can't imagine what they're going through and they have to deal with all that. But also I'm like, this is what you signed up for. So, nut up.
And El Ramey has a great point. Says that Nicole won't change being nosy. It's supposed to be nosy because her castmates say it's okay. Right? I'm assuming you meant nosy on that one. Because, yes, you're right. They are like, well, yeah, that's just Nicole. And I guess that's what it is. And but again, that's accepting somebody for who they are. We all have friends, acquaintances, people we know, coworkers who you just like, well, that's just so-and-so. Ain't no changing them. And some of their parents have even given up on trying to change them.
I mean, look at us. How many people have said, well, that's just Yanni.
Well,
that's just who he is. That's just Terrell. That's just who he is. And whether they liked it or not, we're going to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. You know, but, you know, I applaud them for making themselves vulnerable, to put themselves out there like this, you know, and hopefully people don't go into their DMs just to insult them, but it happens.
I am not going to put this on the screen. High Vibe, you are wrong. You are so wrong.
I just saw that. See, that's just High Vibe being High Vibe. And we appreciate and embrace her for being her authentic self.
See, this is what Nicole was talking about. What? Come on, man. Yeah,
that's just High Vibe being High Vibe. That's why we love it. So.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, they had the field day and all that stuff. But, you know, there's enough to skip through in this episode. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
The thing that stood out to me was, and all this talk about food, is Clint in the kitchen. When they were talking about Clint in the kitchen, the only thing I could think of, take out the word Clint, put in the name Terrell, and it's the exact same person. Minus the lack of seasoning.
Well, thank you, Sam. Yes, that is me. I'm very, if I'm going to do something up, I'm doing it big, I'm cooking for people. I've never made a 5-course meal. Like, well, so Clint has me beat with his skills. I mean, that was just impressive. Right. But yes, I am that way. If I'm cooking, I have a way that I'm going to do it. And here's why I'm very particular when I cook. I like everything to be done at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that way, everything is hot. There's nothing more annoying than people cooking and the steaks are sitting there for 5 minutes, cooling off, and then they're still whipping up some sides. And by the time the plate comes, everything is lukewarm or room temperature. I hate
right.
that. Mm-hmm. And so when I cook for people, I want everything to, I time it that everything finishes at the same time.
You've got
to
schedule.
You get a hot plate. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I need everything done a certain way. So yes, I am as controlling as Clint would be in the kitchen.
You ever came to a regular guy's cookout, Terrell would be in the kitchen cooking up the stuff. He'd have the crawfish boil going, which, by the way, just want to throw this out there while we have this. Kitty also says, when should my FedEx package of your boil be arriving to Atlanta?
If I sent that, I don't think you'd want to eat it because you're going to get sick.
I was thinking the same thing, but I figured I'd throw it out there.
I don't think you want to do that, but I am not too bad on a crawfish boil or a seafood boil. Mm-hmm. I have some skills. And for those that follow me on Instagram and saw the pictures I was putting out there, mm-hmm. if you can go to an H Mart or an Asian market and get you a pink pineapple, it will change your life. I got one Friday. I got another one on Monday. It is that good.
See, so you'll be in the kitchen, because since you're so about the timing and getting everything together, you'll do the boil, the seafood boil. I'll be on the grill because, you know, ever since I got married, I learned to grill. I never had to before because everybody around me grill better. So why would I? Like, you know, just like how everybody sits around and lets Clint do what he does. There's a reason. If somebody is good at it, why would you insult them and jump in and try to do it? Right. So.
Exactly. My thing is, I'll help clean dishes. I'll clean as you go. Mm-hmm. You keep doing what you're doing with the food.
Right.
You have a game plan, but I'm going to wash this pot. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run the dishwasher real quick. That's how I will help. I'm not going to get in the way because you have a game plan. And right. That's what I'd want. If someone's like trying to help me, I'm like, no, I got it. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Nothing you can really do. I'm just dumping all this stuff in.
Now, Clint created these courses that were inspired by the couples. What's their favorite meal you had that really fit the couple that he made?
I would say the beet salad that was about him and Gina. And because we beat the hell out of each other, and it was a little bit nutty. But I was like, you know, that is a good description of Clint and Gina's relationship.
I give him that one too. I thought the short rib for Dama Mac was right on point too, though. Cause
short rib,
because they were 12 days. Even Dom was like in the beginning, like, it's 12 days, really. Call him an ex-husband. It was only 12 days.
it's an ex-husband. Y'all were married, and now you're not.
My bad, Sean. Ex. Braised short rib. My bad.
No matter what adjective you put in front of short, it was a short rib, short relationship. I get what he was doing there.
Right, exactly. Look, in a few, we're going to, matter of fact, I'll go ahead and post it in here right now. We'll get folks up in a second. But so if you see the link in there, click the link and you'll show up in our waiting room and we'll bring folks in. We'll do like what Dom doesn't want to do, because Dom was done with the group. Dominique was so done. She's like, look, I just felt like y'all did everything without me. You make appointments and then show up early and be done by the time I get there. She felt left out.
Well, so when they're sitting there, I even titled that little section The Last Hoorah. Mm-hmm. And so Nicole's asking people to get things off their chest, whatever. I was like, okay, let's see what's going to happen with this. Maybe this will be exciting, because everything about this episode has been terrible. Mm-hmm. So I said, maybe this will be exciting. And so when they started talking to Dom, I'm thinking, okay, Dom and Mac, they still have some leftover feelings. And even that went pretty well. And then Dom was just like, look, I'm tired of being left out. Y'all want to do stuff. You have the group chat and then y'all leave early and da da da. And then she was just like, look, I'm not tripping. I'm over it. I'm like, yeah, you're not over it. And you are tripping.
Yes.
You mad. You mad because they don't want to hang out with you. And I get why. They're older than you. I mean, the things that are going on in their lives is not the same as Dom. And I have younger friends that I love to hang out with, but we don't hang out regularly because our lifestyles are different.
Right. You know, Sedan's fan says, Dom said, F all y'all. pretty much what she said, because they were like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? But Tanya has a great point. She made the decision. Why would Dom be mad? You decided not to be a part of the group. Great point.
Yeah, you bailed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love how when they did the Olympics, the beer Olympics, Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, Dom, this is the team that she's on. She can't quit this team early. She needs to follow the process. Yeah.
That was so, I love the shade. The shade was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But I'm like, that's just so true. Follow the process. But yeah, I think Dom is over it, but she just needs to move on and grow up and deal with that. But yeah, that's kind of her fault.
It is.
They did. And if I was the ladies, I wouldn't bend over backwards and change for her to make Dom feel good. F that.
Exactly. So she said, F all y'all. And everybody said, well, F you too. And we're good. Well, so we put the link in the chat. You want to jump in? Want to get your takes on the season? What'd you think of the season? First person up, bold man to get in here first. Wait, is he putting on some clothes first? We gotta wait to.
Come on, Sean. Come on now, Fred. Put some clothes.
See, we can see in the background.
They can't see. We can see. I'm like, come on.
Hey, I'll close my eyes. Goddamn it. Jesus. Sean, welcome, man.
welcome. How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, Brad?
I just had to change shirt.
He had to put the shirt on.
How you doing?
Longhorns up. Longhorns up.
That's it. Welcome. That's it.
So what's up, Sean? How'd you feel about the season, man? What'd you think?
It started out pretty slow, but I think it got a little bit better as time, but it got a little bit better, I think, as time went along. But I mean, these extra episodes are unnecessary.
Yeah. Way unnecessary.
You need to let me know what channel you watch it on, because I never saw it get any better. For me personally, I was just like, this is compared to the previous seasons and how they did them, this just seemed bad. Mm-hmm. And it just kept getting worse. And then to your point, the more episodes they kept adding in, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Facts. You know, it really did get to that point. And Sean, what stood out to you in this season the most? I mean, I know we ragged on your frat brother a lot, especially I did. Tara was there standing up for him. But what stood out to you the most in this season, man?
I think this thing that stood out to me the most was Gina's lack of accountability for what she did, as has often been said between her comment about Clint. And I think that she didn't really show him any grace. He said he apologized over 40 minutes worth of apology, which we did not see. But I think if somebody apologized that many times, my God, you know, how long are you going to hold that person accountable for what they said?
Yeah.
You know, Kirsten, her feelings towards Shaq at the beginning, she didn't like him because he was bald-headed. But then, number two, you know, he was younger than she was, but I think she got over that hump. And maybe she was genuine. You know, I think tonight, at the end of tonight's episode, I think she seemed like she was a little bit genuine with what she was feeling toward the end with him. And I don't know whether they will spin the block again, as they say. per se, but I think the idea is that I think she was really she grew the most out of it. I mean, yeah. I really saw the humanness of Aris tonight.
Yeah,
you know, I don't like the way he did Jasmine, but I really saw the humanness tonight of him. You know, he getting in his emotions when he was really thankful for people like Shaq being in his life. I did not know they were that close. So those are my thoughts on that.
A lot of great points there too, especially on the fact that you really got to see people talk about Aris in the manner, because we shredded Aris. A lot of people in the live chat shredded Aris. You know, people in the comments shredded Aris, and then all of a sudden we get to see that he actually is a well-rounded dude. But does that really change anybody's mind?
Well, it doesn't change mine because I don't know him, so I can't say he's a well-rounded dude. I can say that he came out better the longer the show went on, especially after the reunion. I think you saw better sides to him, to see that maybe there's more to him, but still, I don't know if that's for the camera or is he still like this in the streets, you know? But I still hold him accountable for how bad he was, you know, on that show. But I'm like, you showed way more emotion towards Shaq than you did towards Jasmine.
Yes.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, that's true. I mean, and we only, like, you know, you all watch the same thing I watch. We only see in the edited version. I mean, just like when they were showing the episodes of tonight's, the commercials for tonight's episode, I thought Shaq was going to talk, was talking to somebody else when he said, "You're not going to talk about my wife like that." And then Chris was saying that, "I ain't got time for this." Now, I thought something was going to be heated, what have you. But those conversations were in context with something else. So, yep. I mean, perhaps what we were seeing was the edited of Aris, of who he was and or who he is, I should say.
Right.
I mean, because I said, "My dog gone, man. You 40 years old and you no more grown than that." I mean, come on, dude. For real.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that Aris winds up being better from the show. And another person I think that grew from the show was Dom. At least at the end where she says, "You know what? Me ending it prematurely like that, or me getting the divorce 12 days in was premature."
Right.
And it's taught her not to just start, not to cut people off and quickly judge them and put them in a box. So maybe she's grown as well.
I think
that was space falling with, I think it's space falling with her, Aris, with her and Gil. It was just space falling.
Yeah, that's all it was. We didn't think that was a real one anyway. I know Terrell always likes to cape for Dom. So I think, you know, I didn't see that growth that you saw.
hey, thick thighs save lives. I was just like, come on, Dom, I'm rooting for you.
I said, that's a
she got a nice blessing experience there. Like, you know,
the first three letters. Here y'all go. Hey, Sean, appreciate you joining. Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, sir. Appreciate you joining, man.
Hi, brother. Thanks,
appreciate
man.
You hanging out with us all season long. You know, a lot of people weren't really feeling Eris's thing in that manner too, though. I saw a lot of people in the comments said no, he's still an F boy. They still don't like Aris. A lot of people still in that same spot of like, no, Aris is who he is, and no, I'm still not feeling him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not either. But again, I'm hoping that I'm judging him based on what I saw on the show. I'm hoping he's a better human being outside of that, and he probably could be. I don't know. So I just can't say that, oh, I've changed my opinion of him, you know, altogether. I don't know him.
Right. Yeah,
but I hope that he is a different person. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's talked a whole lot less about sex. He's not saying he's not dating anybody. He's not talking about knocking them down like he used to. And he's not, you know, he's just being single right now to take care of himself. So maybe he has turned a new leaf. But again, I don't know that man.
Yo, Rosemary has a great point. You know, I didn't even think about this, Rosemary. This is great. Do you think that the writer's strike going on right now has anything to do with the length of this season and is it evidence the show is far too overly produced? You know, that is a great point that they did a lot of filler stuff because without the writers, there's a lot of content not being made, right? Now, granted, they probably were still only going to do two seasons this year, but them stretching it out, they probably had something else they were working on that was going to fill this time period of like, ah, shit, we need some more stuff. And they figured they could drag this one out.
That could be the case because maybe they knew that, hey, the writer's strike's going, we got to add a bunch of different shows. We're going to milk this to make some money because we're going to need it to get through this strike, right? But maybe that could be it because as long as the writer's strike's going on, we're going to be in a world of reruns, a lot of new stuff. It's going to be a delay before we start to see new content or new films, new shows, whatever it may be. It's going to be a little bit before we see those. So maybe, but I doubt it. I just think they just milked it because they've already done Colorado.
Right.
Right. I mean, they've already, so they have another show and they have another thing that they can get ready to roll out. I just think they just did it because they're assholes and made us suffer. They made us suffer.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm sorry, man. I'm with everyone else in the live. Like, I am so annoyed because I'm not a fan of reality shows. We know that. And then once we started doing season 13, I'm just like, okay. And I'm trying to like embrace it and I still don't like it. But to make me have to watch shows that are pointless, like this one, the Where Are They Now? This could have been 30 minutes. They could have just had a dinner, had a conversation, and with their
and it would have been, you know, exactly. There was a whole lot of nothing. Again, a whole lot of filler. I thought this was going to be an hour, at max an hour and a half. And when I saw, holy crap, it's 2 hours. I'm like, what are they going to fill this with? And I'm sorry, El Raimi. No. I know Tubi's still dropping movies weekly, but Master P dropped a CD every week. Everyone wasn't good. Okay? Let's not do that. How many of you really watching Tubi? I mean, seriously.
Well, and these are things they've already done. It's just anything new going forward from the strike, everything has stopped.
Tubi's under your backyard. You and I can make a Tubi movie right now.
Oh, really? Okay. We're not.
No, we're not. Tubi. It's like, oh my God. But it's where, if you want to say, you know, like you meet people that are like, yeah, I'm a movie producer.
It's like, oh, wait. Tubi, Pornhub, or both? Like, will you produce?
see, Mimi knows those low budget Tubi movies. I cannot. But I will say this though: everybody has to start somewhere. And I make jokes about it, whatnot. But at the same time, you got to start somewhere and to get it published and have it out on a platform. That's great. So I'm glad to see people do that because there are a lot of talented people that just don't get the shot, right?
Yeah. Well, we can see someone on Tubi; they can be the next Rudy Ray Moore. Right, you know, a little blaxploitation, and then that could lead into something else. You know, who knows?
A copper says, "Married at First Sight needs to go back to season 5 and season 6 format. This was ridiculous." You know, I don't remember the season 5, season 6 format. And you and I have talked about doing this too, even going and getting back to some of the older seasons at some point and just doing recaps of those. But obviously, it wouldn't be an episode by episode. And people have suggested certain ones. I think season 10 was one, season 12. Obviously, season 12 is the reason I said we needed to do Married at First Sight, to be quite honest.
It was because of season 12, because of Chris.
Yes, exactly.
He's doing phenomenally well, by the way. And yep. Chris, congratulations on your dealership and the two cars you gave away to those single moms.
Yep.
Really proud of you, brother. Good job.
Now he's definitely doing, and he's been all over the news here in Atlanta and that. So, you know, good stuff to see him doing that as well. No Channel says they should have called this episode Compliments, Please.
Exactly. Because they got beat up so much in the comments and in their DMs and on social. So this was a way to like build them back up.
Yep. Now, I know we talked about this a little bit. This is why Akamper says she's watching season 5 and 6 now. You and I talked about what are we going to do next, right? Because Married at First Sight is over. 90 Day Love in Paradise. So we know Married at First Sight is about to start the next season almost immediately. It's coming up really soon still. But in the meantime, the way we got here in the first place was because you made this deal with the devil. You would never watch reality TV again until it had the Black Bachelor, right? Mm-hmm. Pandemic hit. They said, let's give the black guy a chance. And enter Matt James. You were stuck watching Bachelor, watched it along with you, and then said, you know what? Hey, why don't you watch one of my favorites? We're here, Married at First Sight. Suggestion came through a couple times about us doing The Bachelorette since they have a Black Bachelorette charity, I think is her name, out of Georgia. Is that something you think we want to tackle in this one as we move forward? We talk about it a little bit, but.
I've been drinking, so.
All right, Beyonce.
I've been drinking again. Fine. You know, we can do the Black Bachelorette. We can do that because, to her point, we did bring that up with the Black Bachelor with Matt James. Mm-hmm. So we got time. We can catch up on it. Have like one recap where we just catch up all the episodes that we've missed so far.
Yeah, it's only two that we've missed so far. Yeah.
Yeah, and so just catch up with the ones we missed so far, and then start going forward. So if this is what our fans want us to do, okay. We can do that.
So we're on the way back to, you know, and I will say this, I'll be honest, this is where we'll probably switch roles because I hate the Bachelor format, which means I'm probably going to hate the Bachelorette format too. Sinan's fan says, I love Charity. And I'm sure Charity's a great woman. I'm sure, you know, she's very deserving of this. I just hate the Bachelor format. I hate the Bachelor concept. I think the same thing's gonna, I'm feel the same way for the Bachelorette. Never watched it before, so.
Well, but to Tanya's point, this is what's gonna make it interesting because before they had Matt James, it was always a white bachelor, and there was always two black girls, an Asian girl that would make it to round two and wouldn't get a rose. And it was always like, we just didn't get enough time. Right. And so my thought before they ever had a black bachelor, I was like, I wonder what would happen if you have a black bachelor and if you have five black women, 10 white women, and then a little mix of Asian and Hispanic, what would happen?
Right.
You know, and so
he still picked the non-black girl, but go ahead.
But he picked the non-black girl that was also doing racist stuff in college. I don't know if that was like payback. This is for my people. I heard you was doing blackface. Plantation parties. Oh, I'll show you plantation party. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what she winds up picking. And I think when these people go on the show, they talk about their preferences. Mm-hmm. There will never be a black bachelorette that has 15 black men and three white guys, one Asian guy and one Hispanic guy. It'll never happen.
Right.
You know, but good for her. If she's on this, you know, to find love, let's just see what happens. The thing what I find interesting about The Bachelor, even Bachelorette, it's not who they pick. It's what they do on the shows and then how the suitors are sitting back talking about their dates and, oh, we did this. Oh, I made out with her and all that type of stuff. Those are things that make me laugh because I'm not going to sit there and compare notes and tell you what I did. I'm going to keep my game to myself and just let you ruin it for yourself. You know, and then when they get to the final part where, do you want to take my room key? You're always wondering, like, how many people do you hook up with? For the guys, they can get the room key. Normally you get down to like five people and they might sleep with all five of them. I always wonder, like, where's that woman that's going to be like, I might sleep with all five of these guys and it's okay.
She was on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Shanice.
Well, I think it was what's her name that Matt James didn't pick that she wanted to be the next bachelorette. Mm-hmm. She was very sex positive because she was the one that came on with the dildo when she met Matt.
Right. Yeah.
And so I admire that. And so like I would love to see a woman come out there and do the same things that the men do.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be great. So who knows? I don't know Charity. I haven't looked into this yet, but apparently I'm going to find out a lot about her.
Dolores says, I watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette only when the contestants are black, and that will be the same thing for me, you know. And I'll be Tom Jordan this one. We're supporting everybody black. JD says, I only watched The Bachelor for the first black bachelor because he reminds me of my son, but it was disappointing in my opinion and so overscripted. That's the other thing I thought about The Bachelor, right? And I found that too. Considering that writers are on strike, does this add a little bit more reality to reality TV these days?
It could. You know, as Tanya says, if we put, put Shanice on the show, that would be wild. Yeah, it would be wild. It will be wild. They'd be having to give out more than just COVID tests each day. They have to give a little some other type of tests.
Every day another test. And then, of course, we know this next season of Married at First Sight is coming around and down for another one. Hopefully, it's not another 26-week season. But this one in Denver, we're going to see, it looks like our first interracial couple, even though I think they're probably going to tell us, well, you know, somewhere down the line, there's a black man in his family. And so he's really, they're going to sprinkle that in somewhere down the line. But it looks like we're getting our first interracial couple. When I say interracial,
we had Dom and Mac.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
We had Dom and Max, so we had the interracial, and then you had Gil and Merla, so you had an interracial couple there too. So,
I guess so.
If you're only saying interracial means white and black, everything else is not interracial. Well,
the way Texas, I'm just going by the Texas rules. I'm just going by the Texas rules, that's all.
Texas rules is fine. Do you have a gun? Do I have a gun? I don't care what color you are, then we're cool people.
That's not Texas rules. Come on, don't act like I didn't live down there too. Stop it. Hasn't changed that much since the 1800s.
So again, kudos to Sean to be the first person to jump on live with us. We have a link in the chat. I would love to see someone else, like some of the ladies. I want to hear what you think. You put in your feedback and thoughts in the live chat for so long. As Nicole would say, let's air out our grievances and get it out. Chat. Is there anything that Yanni and I said over the season that you don't agree with? I'd love for any of the ladies to pop in and on the live and share what you think.
I see a lot of questions in here about some of these other shows, and you know, and even like suggestions for next season, like the experts need to be more involved as well too. And definitely agree, experts need to be a lot more involved. We saw a lot of people throughout the season saying that, you know, Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper got to go. I don't think Dr. Pia did that much better. And definitely Devon Franklin, he was there for what? One episode and then he was gone. So
yeah,
who are you replacing them with? I think they do have to get them more involved, but I don't think getting rid of them is gonna make it any better or worse. You know what I mean?
Maybe Jonathan Majors. Replace them with Jonathan Majors. That's, you can do that. And for the people in chat, you don't have to come on cameras. Yanni, would you be okay if somebody came in without being on camera, but at least they could speak?
Yeah.
So we can say that. You don't have to put your camera, you know, put your camera on. So if you don't have your hair done, you don't have a bra on, that's totally fine. But we'd love to be able to hear your voice and tell us what you thought about the show, either the things that you saw throughout the season, or maybe you disagree with something that Yanni said, because he's often wrong.
Oh, and Robin, right. That's what I thought. Gil and Merla are both Hispanic. They are.
No. Gil is mixed.
No,
Gil is mixed. Gil is mixed.
Okay.
Yeah, Gil is mixed.
Explain. What is he mixed of?
You want me to explain
Hispanic
what mixed
and
is?
Hispanic? Yeah, no.
No, he's not Hispanic and Hispanic. he is mixed.
He's mixed and Hispanic.
No, he's Black and Latino, and he's closer to his Latino side, thus his fluency in Spanish.
He grew up there. So, he was born there.
So you say what? People don't sleep with Black people in other Latin countries and have babies by Black people in Latin countries?
You do know that there are Black people in Latin countries, right?
I do. But
okay, just making sure.
Gil is mixed. He's not Latino.
He is Latino. Was he not born there?
Call Gil. Let's get Gil on. Let's get Gil on
saying,
the line.
Are you saying there are no Afro-Latinos? Because that's all he is. He's Afro-Latino.
Let's get Gil on the line.
Nikki P, welcome in.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Good, Nikki. Good. How are you?
I don't drink, so I'm not as good as y'all. This was terrible. I cannot believe I stuck through this. It was just so I could keep up with y'all tonight. Y'all owe me money for this. I am done.
Wait. Married at First Sight owes all of us money.
Well, I don't know, but somebody got to say something. This was terrible.
What made it so bad?
Half of the year is gone. I can never get that time back.
Facts.
Nicole, bless her heart, you know, she comes from a good place, but she's just annoying as all hell. And she's just like so short. You just want to flick her across the damn room. She is so annoying. Chris, I think she bought that green button down for Chris right before that scene because it definitely did not fit. He was so self-conscious and that spare tie. I know we don't talk about looks, you know, but Jesus. I was so afraid for everybody's eyes. I thought a button was just going to and kill somebody.
All right. So, Nikki, I have a question because, you know, we always talked about, you know, not talking about people's looks. And I think that it's almost like there's a double standard. It's okay for women to talk about men's looks, whether TV, in person, whatever. But if men do it to women, it's wrong. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, I get it. Maybe the shirt was a little tight, but
maybe it was a little tight.
I'm just saying. Maybe it's a little tight.
He was turning blue.
Yeah, it was a little tight. But to Nicole, she was like, "Look at my baby. He looks hot as hell. I love it." And that's okay, right?
What? You asking me that? No, it's not okay. She was lying to him. No. It was not okay. Now, okay, we all laugh and joke. And as you can see, I didn't come up until you all said did not need a camera. My wig is somewhere across the room on the doorknob. So, but I'm honest with myself. So that's the difference. I would not go on camera or on TV, you know, before I got my grill fixed. Why would I just not wait and get it fixed after? Why? It makes no sense. But no, I think honestly, this was a pretty good looking cast. I think everybody overall, they were okay. I just think that the matches, they needed to be flipped around a little bit. But I just feel like if you're that normal and you would like to be attracted to the person that you married, this isn't the show for you. I'm tired of people coming on this show and, you know, I just want to take it slow. You cannot get married to someone and say, I want to take it slow. Like, what, I need my name on your... Yeah, like, I need my name on your insurance. I need to... What was that, Miguel? And what? I need all of that. Driver's license change, name of address. I need mail forwarded, everything. We together.
See... I always say that because every time we do Married at First Sight, we talk about the honeymoon and it's always like, who's going to consummate first? And a lot of these people's like, well, I just met this person. I'm going to wait. I'm like, why wait? You slept with so many other people that didn't put a ring on it. Why this person married you sight unseen? Why wouldn't you have sex?
Exactly.
On the honeymoon?
And I think it's like people are afraid to have sex and people know it. We're all adults. I mean, everyone except for Dom. We're all adults. So I just don't see what the problem is. If you are willing to sleep in a bed next, like next to someone, it's especially like early morning, like 2 hours before the alarm is supposed to go off. Like that's dangerous territory. So for the fact that Aris and Jasmine didn't ever... You know, you roll over, you bump into something like, who's in the bed? Oh, that's you too. It never happened. And I'm just like, he really is not attracted to this woman.
So that's my question for you right here, Nikki. And asked this before, you know, and I appreciate you coming up. But why? Because they never told us what it was. What do you think the issue was with Aris and Jasmine?
You know, Yanni, I don't like how you gonna ask me that leading question. I really don't.
I'm just following your lead.
I don't recall, but I mean, okay, I get what y'all trying to do. You need a woman to say it so that you all don't get it. It's okay. I know. Yeah, throw the hands up. I know. I got you. Don't worry about it. I would have to say, if it's not her teeth, then I would have to assume it would be some type of, I hate to say it, and I don't think it's this, but maybe like a feminine odor situation. I don't believe that's it because they slept in the bed together every night.
Exactly. That's why I don't think people have said that in the chat about the odor. I'm like, it can't because he slept with her in the bed with her at least. They were close to each other quite a bit, and no, L. Ramey, we're not bashing him. This is one thing we've made a point of making sure we don't do that, right? So it's one of those things of like the people said maybe it's just her appearance. She's not his type, physical type, and like you said, that's not what it should be on this show.
It shouldn't be, and I think that. I've never really had a problem with Aris. Yeah, he seemed real frat boy and talking about sex all the time. So I knew he wasn't getting none. So it was just like, okay, let him just, you know, enjoy yourself.
Right.
But there is nothing wrong with someone not being someone else's type. It's just, it's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
I'm not a lot of people's type. I mean, you know, that's on them. I don't know what's wrong with them. That's on them.
They're lost.
But right. Like, it's, you just turn the corner and bam, it's another man right there. Woo, hey, how you doing? It's not a big thing. I just think that the way that Jasmine knew what it was from the honeymoon, but pretended to the camera, to the ladies, to everyone else, that I don't know what it is. I'm trying my best. He's not opening up. Girl, shut up. He told you. And he was gentleman enough to not say it for the world because it didn't need to be said for us.
Question on that, too, because the fact is she seemed more into him than he was into her. And he even said he didn't sleep with her because he didn't want to lead her on. I asked this question before. Well, since I have you on here, before we let you go, and we appreciate you jumping on here, do you at least give him some credit for not doing that? Because we ate Chris alive when he did with Paige.
These questions you are asking me tonight, Yanni. Like, and you like, you, your shoulders are getting higher and higher and higher. So you know this is ridiculous. I will say, I'm not going to say credit. No, he's an adult. If you, you know, no, not any credit. I would say, honestly, it showed that he had some respect for himself. You know, I know too many men who will roll over into it and keep their eyes closed as tight as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think nothing of it at all. So for the fact that he didn't do that, I think that he was, and it could be a point where he was concerned about his image, you know, on the show, and not so much Jasmine's feelings, but either way, the right decision was made. So how he landed on that, I don't care.
Right.
Well, and I mean, she was throwing it at him, which was a bit confusing for me because she seemed very, you know, not to say, because that is how a good old fashioned freak is supposed to be, you know, private, modest. And then, you know, once the door closes, like, who the hell, like, help.
A lady in the street.
Right. But, you know, she just seemed very uncomfortable with the talk of sex altogether. So I don't think that that helped him get, strong for him.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, again, thank you for representing the ladies.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, ladies. Johnny was the one with the crazy questions. I'm sorry. I did my best to represent us. He put me in a trick bag. I'm sorry, y'all.
You did a great job.
You did a great job. And thank you.
All right. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Good night.
Thank you.
So here's what's interesting about that, because I agree with Nikki that most men.
Oh, I thought you said you agree. I asked some trick questions. Like, wait a minute. You're supposed to be side.
No. I was just saying that I agree that a lot of men would just kind of roll up on somebody.
That's what happened in season 12.
And you're right here. But the difference is that you don't stay with that person for 8 weeks. It's kind of like, hey, we're in Vegas. We got hammered. I woke up in the bed. Oh, you're still here. And you kind of roll over and do whatever. But you're not with this person for 8 weeks. Well, you know, and so maybe that's it, is what held him back. I appreciate and respect the fact that he didn't. I don't think that it had to do with hygiene or even the teeth. I just think maybe, to Nikki's point, he just wasn't feeling her at all. And I'm glad that he didn't do anything to embarrass her. And she has a rep to protect. She just can't be rolling over 3 o'clock in the morning on camera. Because you know they'd have been filming it out. I mean, as much as they film Kirsten and Shaq, every time they, you know, if one of them farted, they're like, "Oh, what is this? It? Are they getting back together now?" You know. So.
Yeah, there were quite a few things here. Like, you know, Sean had suggested that maybe Jasmine was a virgin, but interesting one. Maybe the secret from Black Tornado was that Eris was actually the virgin. Not the way he talked about, but then again, people lie.
I mean, you lie, but you don't lie like he would be telling big lies.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't lie that much on your stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he just might say, I've had a few encounters, but you don't say I'm a virgin, but I've had orgies and all this stuff. What's your favorite sexual position? You know, all over dinner. I don't think you do that. I think there's a reason why he didn't. Honestly, I think that he was involved with somebody before he got into the show, and he liked that person, and he didn't want to, like, when the show came out, he didn't want to look bad.
Right. There's that too. You know, Giggles had a great point. People are in love with the idea of being married. And I think that is very true. A lot of people have this, their own mindset of what marriage is, and you don't know till you get into it. You know what I mean? And it could be as good or as bad as you think it is. It's like any relationship, really and truly. You don't know what it is till you get into it. You know, grass is always green on the other side till you get there and realize, ah, shit, it's AstroTurf.
Well, dude, and maybe is that where the challenge is when it comes to society? Mm-hmm. You have ideas of what you think being married is like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, I had ideas of what it's like to work in a restaurant till I did it.
Right.
And all this stuff that you have to do with it. Yeah. But I mean, until I did, I'm like, oh, this is a total different ball game. And so maybe people have these preconceived notions of what being married is like. And that's what they're expecting when they get married. Then when they don't get it, mm-hmm. it's a problem. But the reality is that their preconceived notion was the problem.
Yeah.
No, because you're dealing with another human being who has a different opinion. You just mm-hmm. can't say, we're going to get married and you're going to like all my shit. And you're mm-hmm. going to be cool with all the things that I want to do because we's married now. I'm color purple. I's married now.
I think this season was filled with people who were in love with the idea of being married, because, you know, Lucy B says poor Kirsten was head over heels in love with the idea of marriage. I think Gina was too, because Gina's like, I feel like I'm ready for marriage now. No, you're not. You know, Dom was happy to be married for 12 days and was like, yeah, this ain't for me. I'm back to the clubs I go, you know. So maybe the season was just filled with the, and it's not that they were all bad matches. I know we like to say they were bad matches. It's on the people to come in. And Nikki really hit, by the way, Nikki, great job. I know a lot of people in the chat will tell you that. I want to say it from Terrell and I too. Great job. Because you made a lot of great points in the fact, like, you know, people need to stop picking these people who come on thinking, well, I'm going to get this person that is my type, and really going for the process of what it was and what it was meant to be, which is to go against the grain of what you're accustomed to and find somebody that's going to help bring the best out of you. Because that's what marriage is. If you don't want to be, Terrell, I'm speaking for you in this way, but you don't want to be with somebody who doesn't make you want to be a better person. I know you think you're the greatest person on earth already, but still. for me, it's always been about somebody who wants you to be better, right? I mean, because you should bring each other up.
You're projecting, sir. you're projecting your energy on me. No.
Funny.
But I do think that you'd want someone that's going to help you be a better person, someone that mm-hmm. you can grow with. And even when I think about, we were talking, I think it was last Monday's episode mm-hmm. about relationships. Like in my 20s, I had this idea of things had to be perfect mm-hmm. and I had to be perfect and they had to be perfect. It mm-hmm. was never a thought of, we're two imperfect people trying to help each other be perfect.
Right.
To me, that's a better situation. Right. And I think that just happens over time. And you think about a show like Married at First Sight, you don't really get that chance, because mm-hmm. in a dating world, you get a chance to grow and learn a person and see, and then you get married. You're just jumping into the lion's den, just getting married right away. And then it seems like every episode or every season, the first thought is, okay, I'm gonna dump all my shit. Here's who I am. Mm-hmm. Here's my good, bad, and the ugly. What's yours? Okay, we should be fine now. No, it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, because you're still meeting the representative. We know you meet the representative when you're dating. Married at First Sight, you're going to meet that representative. It's about peeling back the layers. And it is an expedited process. It is the fact that you have cameras, you're forced to shoot, you're forced to have conversations. And those that embrace it, I think, you know, they actually survive it. Those who don't, well, we end up with a season like this one where a lot of people are.
So Keaty asks, and you don't now, Terrell, as in, do I expect perfection? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't. I totally, no joke, you know, all jokes aside, I don't. But I had to go through a process of, you know, when you say failing, learning about myself through previous relationships. And a lot of it was me mm-hmm. was the problem. And yep. once you have that moment to yourself where you realize the common denominator was you, and then you start to talk to people, get some therapy, you realize I can do something different and I can be different. It took a lot of work for me to get here, but I'm so thankful that I didn't get married in my 20s, because I'd be divorced today.
Right.
I know it. There'd be somebody just bitter talking bad about how I ruined their life. And I'm glad I didn't do that to anybody. So,
you know, before we get out of here, Rosemary had a great comment. She said, I want to say that the New Orleans cast was very good. Even though Miles and Karen divorced, really? They did? Miles and Karen, now there were a couple who didn't, and you didn't see this season, which probably one of the ones where you should go back and look at. And we'll probably have to do that one for the membership. But, you know, I think a lot of the things that you saw with them, they didn't put a lot of their stuff out on camera. And even post-show, they didn't put a lot of stuff on social media that they were going through. And I think that's good as well, too. fact that, you know, sometimes you don't have to let everybody in just because you did in the very beginning. Because the problem is if you're doing it just for the cameras, the prop and doing it for the likes, you know, Chronix is a song, you know, don't do it for the likes. And the simple fact is if you're doing it for the likes and for the engagement, the problem is that now there's no real feelings and real thoughts in there. And that can be a problem. So.
And thank you, J-Flo. Classmate, graduated together.
Dope. One last thing here. Married at First Sight has started picking people that have no clue about marriage and giving them no skills or tools to make their marriage work. And I think that's what we're seeing. Chris talked about it.
Yes.
So one of the things that he taught, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of you realize how much you agree with Chris, especially on this season. Because Chris said, before the season started, the experts need to be more involved. They're not. They leave you out there. Now, granted, if you see the season, that wouldn't help to me, because he didn't listen to any of them.
True. But you know what just really depressed me just now? Is when you said that, I'm like, wait a minute. I flew out to Atlanta first part of January. First week of January,
yeah,
to do the show with Chris,
yes,
at that studio, and here we are in July. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me!
We're still on the same damn season.
You made it more real. It felt bad, but you made it more real. The fact that okay, we did meet with Chris before this show kicked off, but it was just meeting the couples.
Yeah,
and we've been doing this now for almost 7 months. Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
And by the way, Gil is Colombian and Mexican.
Greater
Hispanic.
Colombian and Mexican. Hispanic. It's like, I'm going to have to do my own research. I need to validate that. I'm not saying you're wrong. All I'm saying is I got to validate that.
You and just don't want me to be right.
That's no, once I validate it, okay, I will put in the comments once the YouTube video uploads. Once I look it up, I'll be like, you know what? My bad. I was wrong. Gil is 100%. Of Latino heritage of some kind. He's
Afro-Latino, yes.
There's not one drop of Tony Satchery's within Gil.
We thought he was black when he came on the show. Yeah. And he was like, hey, let me explain something to y'all.
I'm gonna have to do my own research, but just to validate that, I don't want to say yes, you're right. But thank Jesus. You for calling that out.
Oh my God. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of your bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Cheers.